I'm back, bitches, and Obama won.
Love Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, Michael.
UCR.
Are you ready for this one?
We're saying what we want, give it to you, not God. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna tell. Unstoppable, original, and Sense Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday. This is Karen Ashley, and you know you're listening to Uncensored Radio, the most uncensored, crazy, lunatic-driven show you may ever, ever let your ears to hear. Your ears may bleed at the end of it, but you know what? Your stomach will hurt from all the laughter. You heard him. Mr. Jeffrey Emmett is back, the crazy bitch himself. Jeffrey, what are you doing?
I am enjoying the fact that our guy won, and unfortunately, Katrina's party's guy lost.
We're not supposed to gloat. We're supposed to be happy and gracious winners. We're supposed to promote unity within our government.
Bad. Look it, I'm a gloater. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I'm sorry, Katrina.
I'm sorry, Jeffrey, but you're a loser in that you missed out on yesterday's show, which was your chance to gloat. So time to move on. We have big things to discuss.
Okay,
can I just tell you? We have turned the page on the political.
Go ahead, tell us. I'm FaceTiming Katrina today. And this bitch is like, I was about to defriend you on Facebook, and I was going to refriend you on Wednesday because you were just getting a little too crazy for me.
It was annoying. I was like, enough, gosh.
I know. I was like, but you know what? That's, I think, what everyone on Facebook and Twitter have been feeling these last couple of days, because it's been so much like negative. I mean, it's like I've never seen so many negative comments or so many people like – gloaty. It's been bad on both sides. Like, everybody's really overzealous because President Barack Obama won. And then a lot of people are really mad, be like super mad that Mitt Romney lost. And it's been crazy. Like, I really wanted to like unfriend some people and get back to them on like Wednesday or Thursday, because it's like, I don't want to read all that. Right? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to read all that. I was extremely happy, but I was like, it was that night. Like, that night, I was like, yeah, I was going to Roscoe's, and I'm buying everybody Obama specials.
That post I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed that one. I think I even liked
it. You did like it, too, so you did enjoy it.
So that part is fine, but I mean, come on. Like, quit trying to get me riled up. It's the internet. Like, I'm not going to engage Jeffrey. I will not engage.
Right. Well, you know what? I've seen on both sides, like, I'm being very honest, I've seen on both sides people really trying to rile the other person up. And people have been saying, I can't believe how many of my friendships have changed, and I can't believe how many people think the way they think. And I was like, I hope that, you know, your political stance wouldn't be so detrimental to a friendship. Because I think if you're America, you can like what you like, and I like what I like, but there's no love lost.
But here's the thing. I don't know what the hell was just happening, but I kept going in and out and could only hear part of the conversation. I heard Katrina say she wasn't going to engage. But here's my thing. You know, I scared a few people. My cousin texted me because she was pro-Romney.
How dare you?
She asked me if I was upset with her, and she had felt that I was upset with her for a while because she had texted me a few times and asked what was going on. You know, and I kind of, like, did, like, one-word things or, you know, like, come over or whatever, but, you know, not really engaging. But, like, I'm like, no, I'm just busy, and I was just causing trouble on Facebook, you know. I think it's fun. I think it's in good spirits. Like, I think it's it was a crazy time for everybody, you know, like, there's a lot riding. And, you know, the only thing I'm going to say, and I'm going to leave it at this, is Obama better bust his fucking ass this time. He's got 4 years. I want to see him open his fucking mouth and do what he's got to do. I'm done.
Right. Well, I look at it this way. I think that the trouble we're in and the mess we're in, I don't know any president that could do it in 4 years. I think anyone who were elected would need a solid 8 to try and get anything off the ground, especially when half the Senate wants one thing, the other half wants another thing. We're definitely split as a country. I mean, you saw you know, Romney, you know, lost, but, you know, he had a lot of voters, a lot of supporters. And I love the fact that people are so passionate, and especially people our age and younger are so knowledgeable of politics, and it's such a great day to see that. And because usually we didn't care. I don't know that I've ever given a fuck about politics so much. You know, it wasn't until, you know, maybe the last 10 years that I've really gotten into it, right? So it's great to see that. But I do wish, and I'm so glad that we're now going to turn the page, and I hope people are mature. I was very upset when I was reading, like, you know, posts, like people were comparing Obama to Hitler and Nazis and hide your children.
Oh, come on,
and
that's just ridiculous.
They were, I'm telling you, I was just like, what the heck? But then the same thing, like people were like, ah, Romney, they were like talking shit about him. And I was like, wow, like it was like, I've never seen such anger and such passion for political.
That's because,
you know,
they wanted Twitter and Facebook,
you know, or for anybody. It was crazy.
When Bush got voted in second term.
Oh, people were pissed. I think that's why I said it's been about 10 years that I kind of, and it was around that time that I think he, you know, he didn't win the popular vote, but he won the electoral vote. I think people really started to get involved and getting, you know. But I think it's great. I think it's healthy. You know, obviously Uncensored Radio is a place to express your emotion, which we've done time to time. But
I had to go run like 6 miles before I could check the internet because Jeffrey was trying so hard to start a fight. Because Jeffrey would just attack all Republicans as being idiots.
No, I wasn't. I kept saying that I was pissed because if you're close to me, how could you vote for somebody? The words that came out of his mouth were, if I become president, I will block gay marriage on a federal level. Whether he could do that or not is irrelevant. But that's
because
how he
can't
feels.
Do that. That's impossible. So I don't think that's even something to worry about. Obviously,
but that's
I was
what he
wedding,
said.
So obviously, I support you. It was not a support of him. It was a support of the party.
Right. I understand that. But I'm saying, like, him saying that makes him a bigot. Why would we want a bigot running the country?
Well, we wouldn't, but you don't have to worry about that. So you can let your annoyed Facebook habit fall by the wayside.
And you know what? You don't have to worry about that. But the beautiful thing is that we all got a chance to vote, and we all actually rocked our vote. Like, we all went and voted. I don't know that I have a friend who did not go vote, and that's a very proud thing for me to say because – I, you know, it's like, it, back in the day, I mean, it was like you either voted or you didn't vote or, you know, but most of my friends were very knowledgeable of the propositions that were being, you know, that were on the board. They were all telling their friends, like everybody was on Facebook and Twitter saying, go vote today, go vote. It was so important and it was nice to see our
Wait
generation. And yeah, weed was became legal in a couple of states, and gay marriage became legal in a couple of states, and it definitely showed. I think I said this yesterday. It showed how, as a country, we're changing. You know,
Look,
we're definitely
I'm not gonna
changing.
Lie to you. One of the states weed became like legal for recreational use was in Washington, and I'm not gonna say who, but I'm gonna say one of my daycare mothers came in. And she looks at me and she's like, boy, I wish I was in Washington right now. I'm like, oh.
Tell her to come to California. We've been legal out here. We've been medicinal. We've been medicinal on these parts. Whether you're into it or not, you got a choice. You don't
yeah,
have to
but there's
a
whole
no other
basket of shit. They talking recreational.
They said, oh, this is like recreational? Wow.
Yeah, you don't need a license. They talking recreational.
Well, I think it would be great, and I think it's a great moneymaker for a state. It's not like everyone doesn't already smoke weed. Like, go ahead and tax it and make some money. Like, we're in a recession, you know?
I'm telling you, we could kill the deficit if we just legalize weed across the country and tax that shit. We could just fill out that deficit in about 6 months.
Because everybody would be high, and they'd all have the munchies, and they would just eat their way to profit. You just need to open up a restaurant.
That's what I'm saying.
People would be making love and eating food.
No, bitch, what we and you going to do, what me and you going to do, we're going to open up a weed dispensary, and next to it, we're going to open up a restaurant.
Right, a taco stand. We were like, tacos, a pot, we'd have tacos.
Get you,
and
you a dime bag and a taco.
And a bowl of ziti.
Can I get the number four with the half ounce and the Mexican pizza, please?
And the ziti, and the side of ziti, please.
You guys are ridiculous.
And you know I know how to bake, so I'd be baking all kinds of chocolatey deliciousness.
Ridiculous.
But you know what? I know, we are ridiculous, and I don't want to continue to be ridiculous for too long. We actually have a special guest that's going to come on the show tonight and talk about a very, very important project that he is getting off the ground, trying to sell. I don't know, is George already on the line?
Yes.
I think he might already be here. Great. Okay, well, let me introduce him. His name is George Ortiz. He's a friend of mine, very, very good friend of mine, and he is a filmmaker. He's an actor. He's a producer, writer. He created this amazing project, and I brought him on the show because the project has such an interesting storyline, but also because he's an independent filmmaker. And you guys know, you've been down our journey. You've been with us through our Indiegogo campaigns, and you've been through everything with us trying to get the reality show off the ground, get Grow Up Already off the ground. So I am in full support of anyone who's going to do their own projects. And, you know, let me quit chatting and just introduce him, Mr. George Ortiz. Welcome to Uncensored Radio. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much. How's it going?
It's going wonderful. How have you been? I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. It's been a while.
I know. You know, I met George through a friend of mine, my really close, one of my besties, Catherine, and she was like, you guys need to meet. You guys need to meet. And we met, and we just, like, hit it off. And I remember sitting in the coffee shop, and the first day we met, he told me about this project. And so for those who don't know, please tell our audience about Christina, which is an amazing project.
Yeah, absolutely. So Christina is a half-hour dramatic series that I've created. It is scripted. And it's about a teenage identical twin living in a machismo, middle-class thinking, Catholic-based Latin neighborhood with his college All-American athlete brother and his politically ambitious mother, and how he's caught between the expectations of that world and with who he really is inside, a woman.
Wow. Wow. So his name is Chris, but he feels like he was born to be Christina, correct?
Absolutely, yes. So Chris is definitely in the body of a boy, but he identifies as female, and so he should have been born as a woman.
Wow, so deep.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Where did you get this idea? Like, I mean, I know you told me the story before, but I want you to tell them. Where did you get the idea?
Yeah, it's interesting. The idea came to me in a couple of steps, because I'm a student at the Richard Lawson Studios, and one of the things that he stresses upon at the studio is to think about the bigger picture, where it's not just good enough to be an actor anymore in this day and age. You know, you have to find ways to start adding slashes to your name. So actor/writer, actor/director, actor/producer, and in this way you have more longevity. You have more power and more control over what you see for yourself and what you want for yourself. And so one of the classes that I took here helped me to tap into those flashes where I was learning how to act better on camera and auditioning on camera. But then the other side of the class helped me to start tapping into my writing abilities because we had to shoot some short projects. And by the time the class was over, you know, we had done so many films in that class that I just became like this wealth of ideas. And the one that stood out for me the most was an idea for a series. And right away, I just got into it. I just started writing it. I started developing the characters. I started creating the 13-episode arc for the first season. And at the time, it was actually called Jason's World. That's what it was when I first came up with the idea. And it was just about this young Latino kid who was going to come out of the closet as a gay individual. And that's how the show started. And for a good year or so, I developed it based on that concept. And I even shot a rough pilot episode, a 22-minute rough pilot episode around that concept, and trying to shop that pilot and putting it in film festivals and all that good stuff. And then finally, one day, I spoke with a mutual colleague of mine's and Richard's, who actually is an executive producer at Logo and she had her own successful series, and, you know, she was someone that I just kept in touch with over the years. And I finally mm-hmm. shared with her my idea for Jason's World. I shared with her the concept, the Bible, everything. And she got back to me, and she said, you know, I think this is cool. The only problem with this is that it's not really compelling. You know, in this day and age, someone coming out of the closet as a gay individual is not something that people are going to really tune in to watch. You know, it's a little passe when you have things like Ellen and, you know, Modern Family, and where
right.
we have more and more guest stars, you know, who are gay characters, or Will and Grace. So she's like, you know, there's not really a good meaty hook here in terms of you having a great product that's going to stand out and that people are going to want to tune into every week when they have Will and Grace and when they have Modern Family and such and blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. so that's where we left it. And I was a little defeated because I was like, wow, I did all this work for nothing. And, you know, but then I let it go and I said, okay, let me just think about how I could retool this. And,
right.
you know, I.
What a little nugget of insight, though, she kind of gave you, don't you think?
Absolutely, because, you know, looking back at it now, it was such a blessing in disguise. Like, I thank her so much because she pushed me to think outside the box and to say, okay, let's go back to the drawing board and how can I make this more compelling? And so I'll never forget it. It was a Friday morning. I was driving to Richard's studio for class. I'm on the 101, and I'm just, you know, replaying her words in my head, and I'm talking out loud to myself. I'm saying, okay, what can I do to make Jason's World more compelling? What can I do to make it more compelling? And I just kind of blurted out. I said, you know, very casually, I said, well, maybe Jason is the daughter they never had. And I swear to God, as soon as I said that, as soon as those words and those thoughts came out of my mouth, I swerved off the 101, and I almost crashed into the wall.
Oh, my God.
I
kid you not.
problem.
Right.
I
thank God
like,
you didn't.
No, thank God I didn't, because the thought scared me so much. I said, oh, my God, that's it. That's it. The idea, I just started trembling. I was shaking. I'm like, this is it.
Wow.
If I'm scared, it means this is it. I knew it was the right decision because I was so terrified of it. I'm like, he's the daughter that they never had. He is a transgender individual. They just don't know it. And he hasn't come out with this yet, with this information yet. So that was definitely much more compelling and much more something that I knew audiences would connect to and watch and be engaged with. So it's
definitely
a much more compelling subject. So
yeah.
That's how I came about Christina.
Wow.
It's something that has not been done, for sure.
Yeah.
I agree. So, obviously, this shook you to your core.
Absolutely.
And
yeah, to the core.
A lot of our listeners are up-and-coming filmmakers, or they are aspiring, you know, writers. I mean, we have a really creative group of people that listen to our show. What step did you take then? Because obviously you had a project, you had a rough, you know, what was the first thing that you tried to do? So kind of giving them advice, maybe they can, you know, have somewhat of a plan.
Absolutely. The biggest thing that has helped me along this journey, the ups and downs, the development phase of it, the tears, the laughter, the hair pulling, is community.
Right.
You know, I can't stress that enough. It's so vital to be surrounded by people who are like-minded, who are just as driven, who have the same passions and the same goals and ideas that you do. You know, I'm blessed that I have a place that I can go to every Thursday night and Friday morning to be an artist and to share and to develop and, you know, fall forward and fail forward. That's the biggest advice, you know, that I can impart on any journey that anyone embarks, you know, whether it's as an artist or as a doctor, lawyer. It's, you know, really find yourself a community of people that you can be with and that will be very supportive of your journey. So that's an instrumental for me for sure.
Well, one thing I will say, you were inspiration to me because I got an email from George and he was like, hey guys, I'm working on this new project and I have I'm going to shoot it. And, you know, I have this Indiegogo campaign, and I had never heard of Indiegogo. And so I click on it, and I'm like, wow, this is really cool. Like, he's raising money. And it was like all these cool things. Exactly. Like, and then I immediately emailed him and was like, you have inspired me to do an Indiegogo campaign. Because at that point, I was kind of like, how am I going to – I had lost an investor, and I was kind of like, how am I going to come up with the money? What am I going to do? I had this amazing cast already on board, but I felt like we lost the money, you know. So I was like, oh, my gosh. And so he was – you're the reason why I did the Indiegogo campaign. So you shot the full – pilot for Christina, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
How did that go? How was that process?
That process was incredibly amazing and incredibly intense because, as you know, with anything that's independent, you're dealing with a limited budget and limited time.
Yeah.
And so,
we know nothing about that here, honey.
Absolutely,
<didn't>,
right?
We're in editing right now on a we have a censored reality, and we shot a, you know, it's basically the show within the show. And honey, it was a good low budget, new meaning. We could swap more stories.
Like, they wanted me to drink wine out of a box. It was horrible.
He already came doing that, George. Don't let him lie to you.
No, that's not true. It was a gallon jug, bitch. Get it right.
Oh, okay. Maybe not the box wine, but he drinks the gallon wine. Anyways, I was inspired by you, and you're right. It's the people you have around you, because I feel like when I get your emails, like, George is great because he will send an email out to everyone at least, like, once a month, sometimes twice a month, but just kind of giving you a progress report on what he's doing. And it's such an inspiration to get that. What gave you the idea to do that? Because to me, that's the best way to keep people obviously posted on where your project is, but also build the buzz, you know, on what
Absolutely.
You're doing.
Yeah.
How
did
you
know,
get that idea?
Yeah, it all goes back to, you know, the sense of community. And again, it's from all the studies at Richard Lawson Studios, he has a concept called relationship map, where you're literally communicating with people that you have met in your life. And so it's a huge, you know, collection, spreadsheet, database, however you like to organize your contacts. You know, it's everyone that you know. So from high school to college to people that you've worked with once on set, friends and family, classmates, doctors. And so it's a huge undertaking because, again, it's everyone that you know. And the concept behind a relationship map is that you outflow to these people on your relationship map so that they know what's going on in your world, both on a professional level and a personal level. And, you know, and with certain projects and with certain wins that I have or certain things that I'm up to, you know, I don't communicate to everyone. You know, there's specific people that I'll communicate with for a certain thing, and then there's another group of people that I'll communicate with another thing. But it also works the other way around as well, because I'm an incredibly supportive person. So I'm always, like, either supporting people on their campaigns or I see them in their plays.
Yeah,
like,
you are.
Or check their... Yeah, so I also know how to outflow back, you know, and so that reciprocal relationship is just a beautiful thing because me helping them out, me supporting them is going to bring it back to me. And that's not, you know, make that clear that that's not the reason why I do it. You know, I do it because I love to support my fellow artists and friends. And there's no greater joy to come up with these people. But it's also nice when you have a project coming up and people are more likely to support it because you've been on their side, you know, on many occasions. So a relationship is a very, very powerful thing. It's a great way to stay in touch with people and vice versa, to stay in touch with them. And it's incredibly powerful.
Well, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, in the machismo family that Christina grows up in, is there a cousin or a sister or what role do you have for Miss Karen Ashley?
That is a wonderful question. I would love to do that.
That was my next question.
That was I was going to ask, what role did you have for Katrina or Jeffrey? Like, I mean, we're all on the same team here. The uncensored crew, we're all
right
through this.
Wait
well.
A minute. As the gay one, I feel I get first dibs here.
Right. Gay doesn't get you first dibs, Jeffrey. No.
Well, okay, I have to say, though, I watched the special sneak peeks, and I immediately emailed Karen. I was like, I want the pilot right now. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was only a couple-minute clip, and I was like, I want more.
Yeah, he was. He was. And then I was just like, I was amazed too, George, because, I mean, just sitting and having the conversations we've had about the project and to just see it come to life is so amazing. So I'm very proud of you. Very, very proud
Thank
of
you. Thank you so much.
And so what has the reaction been? Because obviously you had a screening a few weeks ago, and you're having another one at USC this coming Monday, right? November 12th?
Yes. November 12th, yes.
So what has the reaction been now that people are seeing it?
The reactions to this from conception to final product has always been overwhelmingly positive, but now even more so with a final product that people can actually see and hear. People, the responses have been incredible, and it's coming from people from all walks of life that I encountered at the premiere screening, which was incredibly packed. I mean, we had people, straight people there. We had gay people there. We had black, white, Latino. I mean, it's artists, you know, professionals. I mean, you name it, they were there, and the response was just incredibly overwhelmingly positive, where people were like, I love the characters. I get the storyline. I feel like this is a universal message. Even though I'm not transgender or I'm not gay, I get the universal message about connecting to who you are and the journey that it takes to become what you feel you are inside. And I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to. And people were very impressed. And they said, thank you so much for presenting this topic in a way that it's not forcing it down our throats, that you're not like on some soapbox preaching it, but that you're slowly speaking to us and putting it in a situation that we can relate to, so that these characters are not like in your face, but they're just regular people trying to, you know, achieve the American dream. The mother is an aspiring politician. The twin brother is a star athlete, baseball player at USC. And so these are things that people can relate to. These are situations.
Right.
Oh, I understand baseball game and college life. I understand a nuclear family. I understand City Hall and politics.
Right.
And so, you know, I understand love and comedy. And, you know, so that was the intention, was to slowly, very slowly introduce people. And even in the pilot episode, what we introduce is so quick. It's like, whoa, okay, I think that was, you know what I mean? So, we're not
scaring
people away.
Right. Well, you know what? That's beautiful to ride that line, because it could be a situation where you want to get this off. You know, you want to tell your story, and maybe you tell it too strongly, but that was very smart of you to give it to people very gently. And it speaks volumes that people are relating to it in many different ways. They're seeing the big picture, you know, where they're like,
absolutely,
I can see where you're trying to figure out who you are as a person. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I think
they can show.
Just even in the sneak peek that I saw, there was a fight between, I believe it was the mother, the brother, and then Chris.
Yeah.
Like, how difficult was that to film? Because, I mean, it was very real and raw to me. Like, I was so impressed with the writing, the acting, the filming, everything. And it felt real. Like, I was watching this like I've watched my friends go through this.
Right.
How
difficult
was it to film?
It was not that difficult to film, I think, because everyone was so passionate about this project. Everyone was so on board from cast and crew that it was just this magical thing that people said to me, George, the way you ran this set, the way you and your crew ran this set was, I want to work with you again and again and again.
Wow.
I think it was just that strong unity, that everyone was on the same page. They knew that they were part of something incredibly special. Exactly. But, you know, to answer the question, it you know, yes, the casting crew was definitely on board, but I think also just the reality of the situation of these people, I think that's something that these actors connected to. Just the writing lend itself so well to this gritty, raw feeling. And even the camera that we chose to shot it with, you know, when we were in pre-production, we had a choice of either like the Canon 7D or the Canon 5D. I'm like, those are great cameras, but they're too pretty. They're too glossy. I need something more grittier, more real, something that could feel like a Showtime or an HBO. And they're like, well, we have a Panasonic HVX, and we tested, and I'm like, that's perfect.
Wow.
Because I didn't want something so pretty. You know what I mean? I said, I need something gritty,
so
and real.
That's so funny you said that, because the other day when I was talking to Karen and I watched it, I was like, this is a Showtime show. Like, Showtime uh-huh. is the one that I feel is always breaking barriers. You know, the mm-hmm. queer as folk, the, oh, what's the lesbian show?
L-word.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, this is, you know, like, this is the next step. Like, we've done the gays, we've done the lesbians. This is the next step. Like, this needs to happen.
Absolutely.
Right.
So
what is your goal? What is your goal, George? Where do you see it landing?
Oh, absolutely. The end goal is either Showtime or HBO.
Awesome.
For sure.
Awesome.
Definitely.
Do you think that network TV will ever be ready, or even cable TV will ever be ready for a show like this?
Definitely not network. Definitely not like ABC or CBS or NBC.
No.
Right.
It's just too, you know, when you have advertisers and, yeah, exactly, you know. That's why it always amazes me when I see certain concepts. I'm like, wow, that concept would live on HBO. How it ended up
yeah.
on CBS, so watered
right.
down. I'm like, no, that just doesn't fly.
Right,
because the only gay shows we have are very fluffy. With any gay characters, mm-hmm. Modern Family, that another one over there on NBC, they're very fluffy. It's not real.
Right, the sitcom.
It's not. And this show mm-hmm. is. Like, it's very mm-hmm. real and it's very raw. And I think that's one thing, once people check it out and they go to the screenings, they're going to see that. And they need to write into these networks and say, hey, we want this.
Yeah.
So, so we know that ultimately HBO, Showtime. So what's the next step? I mean, where are you at currently with this?
Yeah, right now the next step is to continue screenings at different colleges and film festivals, submissions and screenings. But also I realize that at this point, probably getting a manager is going to be very vital.
Yeah.
In terms they of help. A partner that can help me administer this on a day-to-day basis, but also a monthly basis as well, so we see the bigger picture of where this is going. And definitely, you know, a manager that has clout and influence and that can get me in the door of different studios and production companies and things of that nature. So that's the biggest thing, is to obtain a manager that can help manage this and massage this and shape this even more.
Right.
I do have a literary agent.
That's the hardest part, because, like, in Hollywood, that has been the hardest part for me. I always thought, oh, it's going to be difficult to get the right cast or difficult to write the right project. And all of that came so easy. Finding the right representative who gets your project, and goes, I'm going to really try to get this in hand, that seems to be the part that everyone, it's so hard to find that right person who's
right.
brave enough,
yeah.
you know, to take on an independent project. It's almost like, I don't know, you tell me, but this is my feeling of Hollywood right now. What I've been getting, it's very, people only want to work with established. But if that's the case, how are these new people ever going to get in? It's like you almost have to, like, break the door down just to get a new person in, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I absolutely hear you, and I think that's the reason why you and I do these things, where we have to create our own product so that
yeah.
people can see it and build an audience through these projects and say, look, you've got to look at this project, you know, because I believe
mm-hmm.
that with all this outflow energy, it always takes that one person to say, you know what,
mm-hmm.
I just saw this thing, you have got to look at this and bring this kid in, you know, and so I'm a firm believer that this creativity and this alpha will all pay off and pull in exactly the people that are going to be right for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know.
I know. You and I have a date.
Yeah.
We have a date to brainstorm. I'm kidding. That manager.
Yeah.
So if any manager is listening right now and you want to rep myself or George, we're having a date to discuss you. So just know this
and
get in contact with Uncensored Radio.
Yeah, email us at uncensoredradio@aol.com. Thanks.
We will get you in contact with either me or George or whoever.
Well,
you know,
okay,
George, you're not too proud to beg, so we ask for everything on this show.
Yeah, we don't beg. Well, George, I'm wondering, how much of this came from your personal life?
Oh, good question. That's a very good question. I think, you know, if I'm going to be honest here, I think that there's a little part of me, definitely in Chris, there's a little part of me in the mother, and there's definitely a little part of me in the twin brother, Anthony. So, yeah, you know, yeah. And that's, I think, you know, all art has to be personal, you know, then it's not worth it. So there's definitely a little piece of me in these three characters.
How did you come up with the idea of an identical twin?
I know. That's a good twist.
That came out of class, because one of the things that we do in class is we bring our projects in, you know, when they're being developed, and it becomes this think tank of ideas. And so you bring in, you know, maybe 10 pages of your script, or you bring in this, or you bring in that. And it's an opportunity for the class to help push your project forward. And it was Richard who said, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if he has a twin brother? Because in that way, they're definitely more connected by DNA. And so it really sets up this Abbott and Costello of these two different people, where one is this incredibly machismo, you know, straight guy, and then the other one is actually a girl. And so there's a lot you can play with when you set them up as twins, because then you start wondering, we can play with Anthony throughout the season and, you know, maybe do some things where the audience starts questioning his sexuality and his sense of identity. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it just makes it more interesting when they're twins, you know, because then there's the whole thing of twins are connected psychically as well. It's like, you know, when one twin feels something, the other one feels it as well. So it just makes their relationship much more dynamic and more juicier by having them be twins.
Yeah,
right.
Genius that they were twins, that you could kind of compare and contrast so strongly right there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's, you can't get any more, you know, Abbott and Costello than that, any more opposite than those two.
right. So this is my question to you now is, what advice do you give to someone who's aspiring to, you know, create a project? I mean, you know, it obviously you got some really great nuggets of advice, and you have this great class and this great fellowship of, you know, people in your life that kind of helped you along. What advice do you give someone who's trying to do what you're doing?
Yeah, it goes back to what I said in the beginning, is to identify a community that you can become a part of, or, you know, build one yourself, that whether it's a weekly thing or a bi-weekly thing or a bi-monthly thing, that you all get together and you become this supportive think tank, where instead of criticizing and shooting things down, it's like, okay, great. And then yes, and, or so you ask the next question, so that we help this person with this idea develop it into something that's marketable and viable, and not necessarily be like, oh, that's stupid, that would never work, but as opposed to, well, okay, that's interesting, so let's ask the next question. So what do you mean that you want to write about this, and what would happen if this occurred, and you know what I mean, so that we're asking in the next question to really shape this into something that can be, you know, important and impactful. So that's the biggest thing, is to create a community or find a community that you can create in.
Right.
Yeah, because,
awesome.
You know, they hold you accountable.
Well,
they won't let you give
true.
Up. I tell you one thing, my community will not let me give up. They'll call me, they'll knock on my door, and they're like, get up. Yeah,
right.
So.
The world is waiting, George. Get up.
Yeah.
Go beat that pavement and sell this puppy so that we all can just be so happy for you. So how can people find Christina? How can they support it? How can they see it? Tell our audience.
Yeah, our main page is on Facebook. We have our fan page. It's facebook.com/Christina Series. And then that's how they can find us in terms of the videos that we post up, the future screenings, important news, breaking news, all that good stuff. So that's where they can find us.
Perfect. Well, it's been such a pleasure. I am so glad that you came on the show and you shared your project with us and our listeners. And like I said before, I'm so happy for you, and I can't wait for us to have our date, and we're going to find the best manager in Hollywood to represent us.
Yes.
And we're going to look back and go, wow, remember that time we had no representation, you know, and we just, you know, now we're just sitting on top of the world and running this city, and wow, remember that? And it's just going to be
absolutely
great, George, I know it is.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
and just a
please.
Quick thing, because I don't know if she's listening or not, because I do have a literary agent, and she's wonderful. She's just really wonderful. But, you know,
yay.
Just to make it clear for the listeners, an agent an agent's role is different from the manager's role, and so
right.
you know, she does her thing to push the show, but really what I need is a manager to help me with the day-to-day management
mm-hmm.
of it. So but yeah, but she's awesome.
Right.
Make that clear.
Yay. I know, right? Right, no, because I'm sure she is, and obviously you're leaps and bounds ahead of a lot of people who walk around and go, I have a script or I have this idea. You actually have product, so I know that you have someone good in your corner who's been guiding you. So you're absolutely right. A manager does do a different
yeah.
thing. You almost need a whole arsenal of people. Like you need
exactly.
an agent, you need a manager, you need a publicist. You need like, it's so many people who wear so many hats just to make one thing get off the ground. It's practically a miracle when shows get off the ground, but it's definitely possible. So
I'm not
yeah.
so
this,
sure. He keeps
mm-hmm.
creating this project around. I think it's going to happen all on its own.
I know. I do too. I got goosebumps when I saw the sneak peeks. Like I was like, oh! I didn't watch the full episode because I'm going November 12th. If you're in the Los Angeles area, he's having a screening. It's November 12th, right at USC.
Yeah.
Is it an open screening or is it something that people have to be invited to?
No, it's an open screening, so it's open to the general public. Yeah.
Okay,
and it's going to
cool.
be. At USC, THH room 116.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'm going to see you Monday. Then we have our date, and then the rest is history. But thank you so much
yes.
for coming on the show. I love you so much.
I love you, too. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. I will see you Monday with bells on. I can't wait.
All right, looking forward.
Okay, bye, honey.
All right, take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So great. We got to get the clips. We got to get all the links up on in our chat room so everyone can see the sneak peek.
Absolutely. The show is fantastic. I really hope everybody will take the time. I posted them up on the Facebook, Twitter. They're on Karen's page, Katrina's, mine, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Go check out the clips of the show. You will
and
not
like his Facebook
it.
Page. Yeah, like his Facebook page, please.
Karen,
yes,
I
awesome.
Want to know why all your friends are so inspirational.
Well, I have to keep inspiration around me because it's
Dude,
like
my
Hollywood will bring you down. So it's like
no kidding.
I know, but you know what's great about having friends like you guys and having friends like him is that he's right. Like you guys. Jeffrey, when I sleep, I might sleep in late one day a month, and Jeffrey's like, girl, what are you doing sleeping late? What the heck? Is the world going to freeze over? Is the world working?
Yep.
He knows. That he's like, and like today, Jeff called me. He's like, have you sent out the letters? Have you sent out the emails? I was like, I'm on it. I'm working on it.
No, yep. It was last week I called you, and it was like, I think 11 o'clock your time. And I knew, like, just from your voice, I'm like, did you just wake up? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, what in the fuck? But you're supposed to be at 5 o'clock pounding the pavement. You ain't got no time to sleep.
That was my one day off the month to, like, rest. Don't expect to get one day off.
No, you don't get one day. You don't get one day.
Dang it. Well, I did a lot of work today. I took my one day last week. Now I'm on the warpath now. I'm trying to get uncensored reality radio talk, everything on everyone's desk.
I ain't mad at
I'm
that.
Serious. I know, I'm serious. I'm serious.
I know, come on, I need a new car.
I know. I need a job.
I just need to be independently wealthy, frankly. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I need a new job, a new car, and a new sugar daddy. So
there you go.
If you could get on that, thanks. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. I'm working on it.
Because I realized that, even if you have a deal, just because you have a deal doesn't mean it's a good deal. Like, I was going over all of the litigation for my book with the literary agent and the attorney, and they're trying to sign on to take a cut for whatever could come from anything that they see is as a direct relation of the book. So if I get a TV show or if I get a part on some movie or if I I get this or that, they want a cut of it forever. I'm like, oh, wow. Really? No, you're tripping. Because
they don't want a little cut. They want a chunk.
Yeah, they want 25% off the top of whatever I make in the future. And I was like, listen, what about all of these projects I've got? What about Unscripted Reality? What about Uncensored Radio? What about Uncensored Talk? What about Grow Up Already? What about this and that and this and that and that? And I'm listing 10 things. I go, these islands are already in the fire that you have nothing to do with.
Right.
Why would I give you 25%? And you're not even going to be my agent or manager, which are another 25%. So that's
20%
off the top before I see a dime. And then there's taxes. Oh, well,
yeah.
You are out of your damn mind.
I'm like, this is going to owe money. She ain't even making money. She's going to owe money.
But that happens. Okay. But you know what? You're bringing up a good point. People have to read their contracts because that happens. That happens all too well. And you get into a place where you just want to get in the door, but you're in the door and you're owing money.
Not good
or
for
you're,
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
I saw behind the music.
My happy record deal was like that. Yeah.
Right.
I'm not trying to
hold money. I saw behind the music, right, with Toni Braxton, and she was talking about her deal. And it was like they screwed her from jump. So it was like she never could be ahead. She was waiting on this royalty check and was like, oh, the big check's coming, the big check's coming. And she got the check, and it was $2,000. And this is after she had been, like, she'd had four or five number one hits. She'd won a Grammy. She'd been on, I mean, it was, like, sad, like, really sad how broke she was. I was like, wow. So
I'm not trying to be like Elton John and owe $857 million to my record company. Like,
wait, what?
Elton John owes some ridiculous amount, over $800 million to his record company. That's why he's not retired right now. You think he wants to be in Vegas doing shows every night? No.
Well, that's a lot of people. Like, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's just bullshit. Like, I mean, everybody thinks, like, this whole Hollywood thing is great and wonderful. And, I mean, we were just talking about it the other night. You know, it's not what it's cracked up to be at all. And people think you're on one show and you're rich. And I've met a lot of people over the last, like, year and a half, and no, ain't nobody I talk to rich.
Well,
right.
It is amazing to get to live your dream and to get to go to work every day and there's no place in the world you'd rather be. That part is amazing. That part is a dream. It's just you have to be careful to make sure everything else that goes along with it is a dream.
Right.
Because everybody's out to get their piece. But it's just like that in the real world in every business.
Right. Well, you know what I always say? Where there's a lot of money to be made, there's a lot of sharks. There's always going to be.
Absolutely.
Like, it's a bloodbath. Like, it's, and the reality is there's a lot of money to be made in the entertainment industry, but there's always someone there trying to screw somebody. I mean, from way back when, you always hear about these horror stories of people getting screwed out of their money. And it's so sad. So sad.
Well, I'm trying to learn from what I went through before.
I know.
Well, it's across the board. I think maybe out of all of the celebrities you know, there's probably only a very small handful that actually still have money. I mean, I can't remember what it was called, but it was like MTV or VH1. And they had something with, like, trying to make the band or something, but it was, like, previous boy banders. Like, Joey Fatone was on there, the dude from LFO, and I don't remember who else. And they, like, asked them the question straight, do you still have money? And Joey Fatone was the only one that was like, well, I invested my money wisely, so I still have money. But the rest of them were like, yeah, we're eating ramen noodles.
Yeah. Right. And some of it is part bad and best, or some of it is just part bad record deal, bad, you know, business deals, bad, you know, spending.
Yeah, but
you know,
the average person
most of
doesn't
people
realize
are,
that. They,
yeah.
You know, they think
know
if you're on stage, you're you know, you've got millions to blow, and that's not the case.
And money doesn't last forever. You may have had $1 million, but really, how long will $1 million last you in this day and age?
Right. Well,
I'm spending about 4 years.
Do you remember which band it was? It was one of the, like, rock bands from, like, the late 70s, 80s kind of thing. It wasn't Aerosmith, but one of them in that era. That they were like, oh, money's running out, time to go on tour again, and the band members would actually take second mortgages out on their houses to pay for the tour to actually make money. Like, that's what people don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane to me. Like, I'd be going out there with a microphone and a fucking CD track, okay? Like, I ain't paying nobody.
But you're not a band,
It's not that easy.
Well, I'm saying even a singer. You got to pay your band members, your lighting people, your stage grips, your mic grips, all these people. Take a microphone, get you a spotlight, and call it a day, baby. Because if you were that good entertainer, I'd be fine.
What if you get the chance? Right. What if you get the chance to open up for someone like Britney Spears, or you get the chance to open up for, you know, anybody? And then, you know, they've got this amazing tour. Here you are with a spotlight and a track.
Well, obviously,
you're
if I'm
gonna,
open up for Britney Spears,
about you.
That means I can really sing. So, I'm going to get me a spotlight. I'm going to get me a gallon jug of wine. And if I'm not enough to entertain people, maybe I shouldn't be doing this to begin with. Because I feel like if you need all that extra bullshit, you know, maybe you're not that good of an entertainer, because I feel like you're hiding behind all of this other shit that you're trying to take my eyes off.
I think you're part of the show.
You put Pink on stage with a guitar and a spotlight, you'd have my attention for 3 hours.
But you know what? If you put Pink on there with a bunch of ropes and she's doing all this acrobatic shit, she's going to entertain you for 12 hours.
But she doesn't need to do that because the bitch is talented. That's my thing.
But she can, and nobody else can, and that's even more talent. That's even more incredible.
She's putting on
an amazing
show.
I'm not saying that it's not
amazing. I'm not going to just stop there.
But I'm saying I would just be happy to watch. I don't know. I guess I'm just that weird. Like, I see you glamorous on TV and in whatever. I just want to see you. If I'm like you because you're a singer or whatever, I just want you to entertain me. And all I need is to hear you. I want it plain and simple. I don't need all this extra bullshit.
I disagree.
Stripped down, plain old music. Yeah.
I don't want it. I want to see you stripped down and sing and with a pole. I don't want to see raw, stripped down music. No, that's cool. I don't listen to Bob Marley that sounds good with just one instrument. Nope. I want the whole boy band with their shirt off, with the oil, dancing around, bebopping, and the stage lifts up real high, and then they slide down, and they're in the audience. No, I want all of that. I want and
it's because you live in Vegas.
That was No Strings Attached Tour. I love it.
I was directly talking about the new kids on the block. Who came back on tour with NSYNC, and they were
Backstreet Boys, and they were amazing.
And I just saw them a year ago, front row. They looked better than ever. They were incredible, and they blew my mind. And I was surprised and impressed. That's what I wanted.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what?
Katrina and I are cut from the same cloth. Like, if I go to an arena, I want
to
see a show. I want
to
see, amazing. I'll go, but, you know what, there are times that I've gone to, places like, you know, the House of Blues or maybe really small venues.
I was just
going to
say that, exactly.
And they
do
that kind of show. Right. Right. They can be up there. You can get a more intimate show. But if you're in an arena and you're on that level, yeah, I want a show. I want to be wild and bedazzled. I was a Michael Jackson fan, so you know I want a show from start to finish.
Yeah, but why do you need backup dancers? He can do it all on his own. Like, I want to see him.
Yeah,
I don't care about these other fucking people.
It was amazing. It was amazing. The show. Yeah, it was the production.
Exactly.
Yeah, the production of it all was amazing. Like, go watch
this.
This
is why I'm gonna be rich, and y'all bitches gonna be broke.
No,
you're paying too many fucking people.
No, that's why you're only going to sell 20 tickets, because there's only going to be 20 seats in your venue, and there's going to be 2,000 in ours.
Oh, look at you vote for a Democrat, this bitch talk about I'm only going to fill 20 seats.
Yeah, but there's only going to be 20 seats in that measly-ass building.
Bitch, there's only going to be 20 seats because I wasn't a child star. They don't fucking know me. They know you three. Fuck my ass, but fuck you, because I'm getting me a little crowd. So
we're all going to work so very hard, and we're all going to read our contracts 8, 9, 10 times.
Seriously,
so that hopefully
that
we don't. Right, so that when we do get our deal, we get a sound deal in order for us to be, you know, to actually make money and get profit. And we're going to have a radio show and a reality show and a talk show and a sitcom. And hopefully with all five of those things going on, we're not going to have to worry. We work for 10 years and we can retire if we want to. How
about I'll be the first one. You know I'm checking out. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm gonna open me up a bunch of restaurants, and I'm gonna go peacefully into the wind.
I think we got Jeffrey for about two good solid work years, Katrina. So we'll have
to
get the most out of him.
Yeah, we already knew he was the prima donna.
Well, look, here's the thing. You know what? After a while, I feel like, I mean, I don't know. Like, if we did a talk show and it became successful, I could see me sticking around for a decade. You know, because as long as it's fun. But I feel like the minute it's not fun anymore, it's time to go.
Right. I agree. And that is absolutely the moment you have to shift gears.
You know, if you're hanging on life support, like, I kind of agree with certain shows that kind of went out on the bang, you know. Like, not, I don't think, like, Seinfeld to me was kind of asinine. Like, you're at the very top. Like, I'd have waited a few more years to get a few more royalty checks. But, you know, like, you got to gauge it right. You know, when you look at, okay, then like Oprah, you know, like she probably could have went out 5 years before she did because the ratings went down a lot. I mean, she was still higher than anybody there is today.
I was going to say she was still number one. It didn't even matter.
Right. She had like 5,000 or 5 million views, which nobody even comes close to. But for her, that was low.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I probably would have checked out 5 years before that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know that I would have checked out. I think I understood where she was compelled to help people because her show had really shifted into, like, the betterment of you, the betterment of people, you know.
Okay, I mean, I get that. Like, if I had $1 billion sitting in the bank and I was worth that much dough, yeah, maybe I would have stuck around, but I would have helped more people because she could have been helping everyday people. I mean, great, she gave a car out one season. She took some folks to Australia. You know, she gave him a 2012 Beetle. That's great. But she could have done
She put, like, I think, was it 1,500 boys through college or something? She opened up
a
school in Africa for young girls.
Still,
I mean, I'm torn between that
still,
because I do believe, yeah, you've got a lot of money and you should help. You should be charitable. But I also believe, like, why do you have to be, you know, American Red Cross?
Well, why wouldn't you want to be?
Like you work
that
so
lucky,
hard, why do you have to?
Yeah, but
I don't know.
Yeah, but you wouldn't get that money if
because
you, I mean,
been
especially
there.
In this industry, you would never have that many people, or you wouldn't have that money if people weren't watching you. So why not give it back? I'm not saying
but
all
same
of
thing.
It.
I think that could be said to any celebrity. Like they're making a ridiculous amount of money, and you know,
I feel it with all of them. Like. And, you know, it's something Rosie O'Donnell said in one of her books that really struck true to me. She's like, I feel like if you make millions, you need to give millions. If you make billions, you need to give billions. And I kind of hope
I don't
that
think you can do that, though. I think that Oprah has given a lot. I can say, you know.
Even when you make millions, you don't make millions. It doesn't mean that's what you're working with.
But,
yeah,
okay, it's different. Like, Rosie was, like, worth $124 million. Like, that's what she had. That was her net worth, blah, blah, blah. She gave, like, bitches running on empty now because she gave so much of it away, which,
but
I mean,
what,
I
mean, that's crazy. Like, she got kids. Like, still, like, five kids.
No,
or something,
I understand
right?
that. I'm not saying get to that point to where you're like, fuck, I have to go back to work. But I'm saying, like, you know, there's a happy medium where I feel like Oprah could afford to give a little bit more away. And not even notice it's gone.
Right.
You can't forget where you came from, though. You know what I mean? You have to remember where you came from. And she came from not a whole lot of anything. She was piss poor. And look where she is now. And that's why she created the school. And that's why she's donating cars and taking people on trips. You know, people who don't have, people who are without. Because she knows what it's like to be without. And that's why comes over
right.
So amazing.
And I will say that
she
Oprah has done
people.
Really well for her staff. Like, she's established all these people who work for her. Like, they are power players in Hollywood because of her. And she's
like,
put
and don't
them
get
on.
Me wrong. I love Oprah. I really, truly do. And
you know Gail don't work. She supports Gail and her kids.
We're out of
she
time.
She took care of Gail. Are we?
Yep. So we're going to have to hold this till tomorrow. Topher, can you play us out?
Absolutely.
Hey, be sure to go check out our new website, www.myuncensoredradio.com. You can also like our Facebook page. Please, please, please support the project. Christina, love you guys.
Bye.
Night,
yeah.
Night.
Night, everybody.
Michael.
Take a little time to be uncensored.
Topher, end the show after
yeah.
Music, okay?
Okay.
We're classy here.